From the Fort Payne Church of Christ, join us now as Jimmy Holland preaches the simple gospel of Christ. And now, here's Jimmy.
It's already been mentioned. We are so thankful that all of you are with us this morning, especially those of you who are visiting with us. We do want you to know that you are our honored guest, and we invite you back every opportunity that you may have. I did want to make a quick announcement before we get started. We know there's bulletins for everyone to see what's going on with the congregation, upcoming events, those who are sick, things like this, like that. But we also have a bulletin for our youth. It's out there at the same place with our other bulletins. It has activities for the smaller kids to help them to pay attention and gives them something to do. But it also has some upcoming events for our youth group. So parents, make sure you're getting one of those as well. For the month of September, we have been talking about being second mile servants. And we've discussed that a second mile servant are people who deliberately look for opportunities to show God's grace to others. And we have talked about how we are second mile servants because we have a second mile Savior. We are to have second mile priorities. This morning, I'd like for us to talk about how we are to be second-mile servants because we have a second-mile transformation. We read what was the greatest command in Matthew 22, 37 through 38. And we see what it means to keep the greatest command is to love God with everything that we possibly have. And we see that if that's the case, showing God's grace to others isn't just something we talk about. It's not just a feeling that we have, but it's something that affects every aspect of our life. You see, God's grace defines our identity. It transforms the way we think, the way we feel, the way that we behave. Genesis 1:26 reminds us of something. It teaches us something, and it teaches us that all men, no matter who you are, no matter where you're born, no matter how long ago that you lived, all man was and is created in the image of God. In Genesis 1:26, we see Moses recording God saying, "Let us make man in our image," referring there to the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we see that we're created in the image of God. That means we have an eternal being. We have an eternal soul, an eternal spirit, just as God is eternal. We have the ability of free choice. We get to choose. We have free will. And what's God's desire for His creation? What does God want from you and from me? It's not a secret. God tells us exactly what He wants. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4, God's desire is for all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. That's what God wants of His creation. God's desire is that we will all recognize His claim on our lives and come to a full knowledge of Him through His Son. And those of us who've taken on the responsibility of being a Christian, those of us who have been buried in the blood of Jesus through baptism, God is at work transforming us, conforming us into the likeness and the image of His Son. You see, He's shaping us into a very specific image. A place that Lori and I enjoy going, we enjoy going to Gatlinburg. And one of our favorite places to visit in Gatlinburg is Alawan Party. Pottery. And it's incredible watching someone sit down with just a block of clay. And they put it on that wheel and they begin forming and shaping. And I can sit there, and to me, it just looks like a blob of clay. But as they work on it, that artist
That craftsman, that individual has a specific image in mind, doesn't he? He has an end product. And he starts working and shaping. And it's not that he had an idea for a cup and it got out of balance and now it's a lopsided bowl. But it becomes just what he wants and what he shapes it to be. And that's what God is doing in our lives. That's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to transform us in from a blob of clay into something very specific, into the image of his son. See, I can't be a second mile servant without being like Jesus, without being transformed into who and what God wants me to be. So let's begin in Matthew 22. And we see, beginning in verse 34, that Jesus is asked a specific question. What's the greatest command? Now, the man that asked this question wasn't asking honestly. He wasn't asking because he wants to make sure that he's doing everything that God desired. Again, this was another test for Jesus. And Jesus answers and says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Second's likened to it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself." You see, in answering this question, what's the greatest command? Jesus lays out what it means to be transformed in every part of our lives. Jesus uses a pattern that touches all of who we are and every place that God wants to shape in our lives because of his love for us. Jesus doesn't say, "Hey, I just want you to think like me." Jesus doesn't say, "Hey, I just want you to feel like me." What did Jesus say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Jesus, or God, wants to touch every aspect of who we are. He wants to transform all of us, not just part of us. Loving the Lord calls us to surrender and dedicate ourselves to his purpose, not our purpose. And this transformation process, it's a remodeling process. And it takes time. While we talk about this, open with me to Romans 12. You know, there's something that's said about restoration processes. Whether it's restoring a car, whether it's remodeling a house. They said there's two things that you can always count on. It's going to cost more money, and it's going to take more time than you ever think that it's going to. And I think anybody who's done any remodeling or anybody that's tried to restore an old car or something like that has found that to be true. It has taken more money, and it has taken a lot more time than what you anticipated. I have a good friend of mine who's an elder down in Robertsdale, Alabama, and he restored an old Charger, a beautiful car. And he said, "You know, my wife and I, we talked about a budget, and we talked about a time frame." And he said it went from a time frame of about 12 months to 36 months. And our budget went from this to, by the time it was over, he said we spent twice what we had originally planned. Now, the end result is incredible. The transformation process is incredible to look at, to see what they were able to accomplish, but it cost a lot. This transformation process spiritually, it's not something that happens overnight. Many times we talk about how one has to become a child of God, and we talk about repentance, and repentance is required. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Paul says in Acts 17 and verse 31 that now God commands men everywhere to what? To repent, to change. And we talk about it like it's just a one-time thing where we say, "All right, I'm sorry, I'm different now." But repentance doesn't happen overnight. Repentance isn't something that we do one time. It's a lifelong process. Transforming ourselves into the image of Jesus doesn't happen overnight. It is a lifelong process. Begin reading with me in Romans 12 in verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or your reasonable worship. Then verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, and what is good, and what is acceptable and perfect. In verse 2, Paul says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. And notice what he says, by the renewing of your mind. From the Greek, if we're going to read that literally, it literally reads by daily renewal. And I love that point. That every day I have to commit myself. I have to rededicate myself to being what God wants me to be. It's not where I can get to a point and say, that's close enough. All right, I've worked this long now. I'm good to go. Every day I have to wake up. Every day I have to decide that I'm going to be transformed. I'm going to be what God wants me to be. I want to look like Jesus. Because if I ever wake up and I decide I've gone long enough, Jesus describes it as building a tower and not finishing. Going off to war without knowing how large your enemy's army is. Doesn't do us any good. We don't accomplish anything. I have to look like Jesus. And I love this image of a son who is wanting to imitate his dad, is wanting to look like his dad. And I think all of us, either as children or as fathers, we've seen some aspect of this. But this picture demonstrates how we ought to be with God. He's the one we look up to. He's the one who has our full admiration. He's the one we want to look like. And so every day, we're dedicating ourselves into being transformed into what He wants us to be. And it starts with our heart, Matthew 22:37. Love the Lord with all your heart. God's grace transforms our hearts by changing what we love. If I'm going to be transformed into the image of Jesus, then I need to change what I love. I need to start loving what He loves. Jesus reveals to us in Matthew 6:19-21 that what we love reveals our priorities. He tells us in that passage, do not lay up for yourselves treasures here on earth where moth or rust destroy or thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth or rust destroy or thieves break in and steal. And He says, for no man can serve two masters. He will either love the one and hate the other. And then He gives us this fact that where your treasure is, your heart will be also. What we love is revealed in our priorities. And so if I'm going to love God with my heart, then, and if I'm going to be a second mile servant, if I'm going to be transformed in the image of Jesus, then I've got to start loving what He loves. And not everything that we love are things that God loves. And the fact is, everything that God loves sometimes isn't what we love. And that's part of this transformation process. Changing what we love into what He loves. 1 John 2, beginning in verse 15, John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. John said, you've got to love the right things. You got to love what God loves. And guess what? we're going to recognize pretty quickly into our Christian walk, into this transformation process, that God's going to tell us to love people that we don't want to love. Matthew chapter 5. The Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes, he ends with, blessed are they that what? Blessed are you who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And he talks about praying for those who spitefully use you and those who hurt you. He talks about in Matthew 6 when it comes to how to pray. He says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Jesus is saying, anybody can love people who love you back, but I want you to be more than that. I want you to love people who hate you. I want you to love people who hurt you. I want you to pray for them. I want you to want good to come to them. And was Jesus telling us to do something that he himself wasn't willing to do? Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, God demonstrated his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus hung on that cross and died for the same ones who were spitting on him, who were hurling insults at him, who hated him. Jesus is calling us to do the same thing. Physically, we understand this. Physically, we understand that there, with our spouse, that there are things that are important to them that, if we're going to be honest, don't mean much to us. But because we care for our spouse, we put forth the effort for that to be important to us as well. We do it for our children. Caleb comes up and there are things that he's excited about, that he wants to talk about. And I'll be honest with you, I don't have an interest in some of the things that he's interested in. But because it's important to him, and I want him to know that I care about him, I make the effort. Or I should make the effort. Loving God with our hearts means I change what I love by loving what he loves. God's grace transforms our souls by changing what we worship. Worship defines under whose authority and reign we determine to live. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 16, that we are the servants of whatever we obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. He says we have two choices. We can either choose to serve God, or we can choose to serve Satan. We can choose to serve the world. But those are our only choices. Who we worship determines under whose authority we live. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. The context of that passage, if we look in verse 16, is worship. And Paul is saying you need to worship by the authority of Christ. You need to love him. Because our transformation, or before our transformation into the likeness of Christ, we may have worshiped a lot of things. Power, money, pleasure, knowledge, or personal satisfaction. But after becoming a child of God, I recognize that by worshiping those things, I cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven, 1 Corinthians 6:9. And now I have to worship differently. I have to worship someone, something differently. I can't worship the same things. Why? Because he tells us in 1 Corinthians 6:11, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified. You're different. So now I worship him. I worship God and him alone. The transformation process of our souls recalibrate our worship. We honor his holiness and commit ourselves to living completely in the shadow of the cross. Why do we worship? Because we love him. Because I live under His authority. God's grace transforms our minds by changing how we think. Our thoughts, attitudes, perceptions, and understanding are transformed by the mind of Christ. Paul wrote in Philippians 2 and verse 5, "Have this mind in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Think the way that Jesus thinks." In Colossians 3 verses 1 and 2, Paul says, "Set your mind not on things on this earth, but things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." Again, he's saying we have to stop thinking about things and the way the world thinks about things. I'm now transformed. I'm now different. I now love the Lord with all my mind. That means I'm going to think another way. I'm going to transform the way that I think. I no longer let society's great thinkers or media or pulp culture give my life direction or tell me how to think. And the fact is, there are plenty of people standing in line telling us what to think and how they want us to think. All we have to do is turn on the television. And you have those who are telling you that this is the right way to think, this is the wrong way to think, this is how you need to feel about that, this is how you need to feel about this over here. If I'm going to transform my mind, if I'm going to love God with all my mind, I can no longer think the way others tell me to think. I was thinking about this earlier today as I was going over the lesson this morning. And I was thinking back to a conversation that Lori and I had when we were first dating. I've gotten pretty good now at determining what matches when it comes to clothes. I'm still not perfect. The other day I wore black pants with a blue jacket. Apparently that's a no-no. But I'm better than I was. And I can remember going shopping and looking at something, and the salesperson says, "Do you like this?" And so I turned to Lori and I said, "I don't know, do I? Do I like this? Do I want to buy it?" And too many are going through the world claiming to be a follower of God, claiming to love God, but yet when it comes to what to think on social issues, on all of the things that God has already spoken on, instead of turning and saying, "God, what do you want me to think?" we turn to others, we turn to someone else and say, "I don't know, what should I think?" To love God with the mind means I transform the way that I think. We think through problems, we make plans based on priorities of Christ. But then we have the second greatest command in verse 38. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. You see, when I am transformed into the image of Christ, my relationships are transformed. God's transformation of our strength, what we do with our hands in love and in service, can be powerfully witnessed in our relationship and relationships with others. Every relationship, whether the deepest connections of our hearts or the momentary encounters in the grocery store, must be defined and shaped by God's grace. You see, if I'm truly transforming into the image of Jesus, then my relationships are going to be transformed. How I treat other people is going to change, because I can't be a child of God. I can't be transformed into the image of Jesus and mistreat people in my life. Whether it's people that I spend the most time with and that I know the best, or whether it's a stranger on the street. Being transformed into the image of Jesus changes how I react with and act towards everyone. Why? I think Paul says it best in Galatians 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, it is not I, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul says it's no longer I who lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. It's Christ coming out of me every time I interact with someone. And we never know. We're talking about being second mile servants. We're talking about going the extra mile, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 41. We never know what an impact even the smallest of moments can have on the life of someone else. Whether it's someone who's having a bad day, and perhaps they cut in front of us in line at the grocery store, and instead of responding out of frustration, we respond with kindness and compassion. It's these small acts. It's these small moments that have the power to transform into something beyond our imagination. How we treat our neighbors becomes a reflection. How we treat our neighbors should become a reflection of how Christ would deal with that individual. See, if I'm going to be transformed, if I'm going to be formed to the image of Christ, then that means I have to treat other people the way that he would treat people. Matthew 13, 34, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, not as the world loves each other, but," he says, "love one another even as I have loved you." You talk about a high standard. Love one another the way that I have loved you. I can't say, "Well, I'm going to treat them the way they've treated me." Because Jesus has said you're held to a higher standard than that. So every situation I find myself in, I have to ask the question, how would Jesus treat this person? One of the most beautiful dealings or examples we have of Jesus dealing with people is the issue of the adulterous woman. She's thrown down at the feet of Jesus. She's guilty. She knows she's guilty. Jesus knows she's guilty. Everybody there knows she's guilty. Jesus made the statement, "You who are without sin, cast the first stone." Starting from the oldest to the youngest, they start dropping their stones and walking away. Jesus looks up from writing in the sand. Where are the people that condemn you? There are none. Neither do I. Notice, Jesus doesn't tell her she's okay, does she? Does he? Jesus says, "Go and sin no more." This woman couldn't leave Jesus and honestly say that he was rude or he was ugly to her, even though he admitted that she was a sinner and told her that she was a sinner by telling her to go and sin no more. How do you think that adulterous woman left Jesus? She knew she just came in contact with someone who was different. Someone who truly loved her and cared for her. What's the point of being a second mile servant? It's to show God's grace to others. It's to create an opportunity to bring those who are outside of Christ to Christ. The only way to do that is to be like Jesus, to be transformed into his likeness. But as I said, transformation starts small, and then it grows into something bigger. Transformation isn't something that happens overnight, but it's a process. Where does that process begin? That process begins when I make the decision to become a child of God. When I make the decision to take that first step into having all my sins washed away and becoming a Christian. And if you haven't yet made that decision, if you haven't started that process and taken that first step, it is the greatest decision you can ever make. It's not the easiest one, but it is the best kind of life that you could ever live. And it truly is a decision you'll never regret making. And if you need to make that decision, there's no better time than right now to begin changing or repenting of your sins, to confess Jesus as the Son of God, and to have every sin you've ever committed washed away by the blood of Christ through the waters of baptism, to rise up a new person, getting a clean start with God, to walk that new life. Maybe you've done that somewhere along the way. Maybe you've got off course. Maybe you haven't been transforming into the image of Him like you should. You know the changes you need to make, and you can start making them right where you sit this morning. But perhaps you need us as your forever family to pray with you, to encourage you, to tell you we love you. We're always honored to do that. If we can help you in any way this morning, please won't you come as we stand.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget.
We hope you've enjoyed another lesson from God's Word. We invite you to join us at our worship services at the Fort Payne Church of Christ. Bible study Sunday morning at 9:30, worship service Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday Bible study at 6:30 p.m. Visit us at our website at www.fortpaynecoc.com.
Oh, heaven came down and glory filled my soul.